What I'm excited about to share with you right now is the store. I got the book, The End of All Evil. I got plenty of copies. So if you click on this link, either this book here or this link, it will take you to a payment page. You get the book and I send you some End Evil podcast stickers. A new exciting thing is happening. My book is coming out. I just finished writing it. This July 20th, 21st, I'm supposed to be getting copies in my hand. And so you can right now click on this link and pre-order that copy that I'll sign for you. And I will also send you some stickers. Or you can get both. And this is a limited time deal that I've got on my website right now. You can order my book, the author's copy signed, and you can get The End of All Evil for $45 for both.
The issue is that we've been brainwashed to believe that there is an exemption from morality when it comes to government and its agents, that somehow they can be delegated or granted the right to perform actions onto others that we as individuals would have no right to perform onto anyone else.
All right, welcome everyone. My name is Jerry, and I have Chris Jansen here, who I'm going to interview. And he is a great friend of mine from Autonomy, the community, the course of action. And I just want to introduce him really quick. So, yeah, he's been sharing information to move humanity away from suffering and towards love and joy. And he is non-dogmatic and non-religious. He is a carpenter foreman with a background in skilled trades. His father, a preacher, instilled in him a love for knowledge and wisdom. He feels compelled to share his realizations. The events of September 11th led him to question the government and seek deeper truths. He recommends researching the event and understanding its implications. And you also used a hidden picture analogy, and you illustrated how important truths are often obscured and require active searching to be revealed. And you also researched geoengineering and chemtrails, and you highlighted the dangers of such practices and their implications. And you present philosophy as the most important tool for internal change, which then leads to external action. The importance of understanding etymology is also something that you teach. Well, you also touch on logical fallacies and the art of debate, which logical fallacies are a key area of study to avoid flawed reasoning and manipulation. You lament the lack of true debate in modern society, and you also, teach the trivium, the ancient Greek methodology for learning and mastering information. And you also know the importance of the logic dialectic phase, which is often skipped in modern discourse. Now, you give credit to Mark Passio and his website, whatonearthishappening.com, and Jeremy Locke's book, The End of All Evil, as major sources of inspiration and information. And you emphasize the importance of living in harmony with natural law and the self-evident nature of truth, referencing Thomas Paine's, quote, and, essentially about freedom and reason. So, Chris Jansen, it's a pleasure to be interviewing you, my friend. How are you doing?
Wow, Jerry, thanks so much for the amazing intro and describing so much about what I am trying to do. And I got to start by saying I appreciate all your work and the way you've contributed. I started the End Evil podcast 5 years ago. And my hope at that time, I didn't ever want it to be just Chris Jansen's podcast. I was hoping to meet other people that would say, oh, I'm interested in this too. Yeah, that book's great. And I would say, come on, let's work on it together. And Jerry's one of those people that answered that call. And we formed the One Great Work Warriors. And One Great Work Warriors has a permanent place in the End Evil podcast. Once a month, we're putting out an episode with these six gentlemen we meet together. And, Jerry's been there ever since the beginning. And somewhere along the way, he started helping me behind the scenes on the podcast with uploads to all the platforms. And Jerry has been keeping an organized chart. And so I can access and see when our shows go up and when Jerry gets them loaded on YouTube. And Odyssey and all the places we put him. And he's been doing that just because he cares for like well over a year. Is it, how long has it been, Jerry? I'm not even sure. I know it's more than a year you've been doing that work for me. For us, I keep trying to remember, it's not just for me, it's for everyone who listens to the show, you know?
Yeah, you reached the goal of, 100,000 downloads now? Is that correct?
Right. When you look on the on my website, on the audio downloads, and that has surpassed 100,000. If people are watching, I sure could use more subscribers on YouTube and shares. If people share the show, then more people can receive it. The other exciting thing is just recently I got in touch with Brandon. We did a cool episode, Brandon Byrne and I. He does positive type of hypnotism, teaching people to work on their own consciousness. And he helped me get lots of copies of the book, The End of All Evil, which previously you'd look up on Amazon and like one copy is like $1,000 or $2,000. That's how out of print and how hard to find these were. So I'm pretty excited to have them here and also on the endevil.life website. You know, if you click on store, you can find that. And I got these stickers too. I got some new ones in that I want to show you at some point here, but I don't want to leave the screen too long. But anyway, yeah, I'm trying to provide people with resources because, you know, you put the presentations out, you put the episodes out, and, you know, and the numbers are growing, but ever so slowly. And we need a lot of people to get involved with reprioritizing from an internal point of view what's really important in life. And so I think that's a great place to start, is just asking that question, what's most important? And if we're not asking that question, what are we doing? You know, why aren't we asking that question? Right? So, yeah.
No, that's a great point, because there's this thing where if you ask people, maybe family members or friends, hey, what are the top three most important things to you, that the truth really is not going to be brought up? And that's a shame, honestly. But right. You mentioned that, you know, you created the One Great Work Warriors, which I'm a part of. We've been meeting for a while now, and you've been doing this for a while as well. So I know I touched on, you know, points here and there of your background, but I think like 9/11, like made you like realize like, yeah, a building just collapsing on its, like from a plane crashing into it. Like you started asking questions, which is really the key here, is how we learn and, you know, discern truth from fiction. And you also recently created you put out a call to action for people interested in truth to kind of have the end evil connect. Can you, you know, share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I've been encouraging this idea. It's kind of how we got, it is how we got the One Great Work Warrior started. And I feel like I have a natural inclination in my being, as I've learned to know myself, to facilitate. I don't really see myself so much as a leader as much as a facilitator. Everybody around me has knowledge and skills and abilities in their being. And I'm just trying to encourage those skills to come out and conjoin with each other's skills, because I know how amazing humans can create fantastic things when we combine forces, you know? And trying to do this stuff alone, I've tried to do entrepreneurial stuff alone. I've tried to do my podcast alone. You're wearing all these hats. You're the engineer. You're the captain. You're the crew. You're the pawn. You're the knight. You're the bishop. You're trying to hold every piece on the board and every position on the boat, you know, whatever allegory we want to use here. It's hard. But if we start working together, we can accomplish amazing things. And so another thing we haven't talked about yet is Funnel. Freedom Under Natural Law Conference. That grew up way back from 2020 when I first started my podcast. I also formed a group, and it wasn't me that formed it. There was a group that was being already kind of happening that I joined. And then I helped the leadership of that group bring more people in, made an advertisement and just made a live video, and that's where I met Leslie Powers. And that's where Will and I and Leslie, we have had some other members of the group that some have come and some have gone, but we've had very active and awesome people helping us. And we completed our fourth conference, online conference, this last year, Funnel 4. And so that's another example of ways people came together, worked together, connected, and got some amazing things done. And that was all done with our own will and really very little money. It was just minimal, paying for the website, paying for sending out some emails. And it's been an amazing advice. So all that to say, End Evil Connect, I want to start something else, another opportunity for people to get together in mastermind style, let it grow into what might be something like Funnel, what might be something like One Great Work Warriors. I'm not quite sure yet what we can do. It kind of depends on who shows up and what energy and talents people bring forward. But I know that a lot of people out there are feeling lonely. I know a lot of people feel like there's no one else to talk to with the complex topics and philosophies we're talking about. And I really think at this point, it's survival, finding other people to be able to deal with on some level that makes sense to you, that makes you not feel like you're crazy, you know? And this world is crazy. And so if you're doubting things in this world, then that makes you a little less crazy in my estimation. And so, End Evil Connect, send me an email. My email's on the website, and or you can just click on End Evil Connect. There's a little tab just for that on the website. And you'll be on the email list. And the next time I advertise, hey, we're going to meet up, it's going to be a private meeting for people that have already joined that. And we're going to get to know each other and see what we can do. And so I really hope more people take me up on that offer, because I think next month we want to get that going. And I definitely have a couple people waiting, and then we need a few more people to join us to make that a solid group. But we'll proceed with whoever we get. And that's how it's always been with this type of work. We get the stragglers and the few people that are interested and whose minds are open. And some of them really run with it, like Jerry. You know, I remember when you first started doing One Great Work Warrior recordings, you were a little shy, a little timid. And you would say sometimes, like, I'm not sure what to say. And you would cut it short. And now look at you. Your rhetoric is polished and it sounds good. And you know what you're talking about. And so I want to help other people, or not help them, but facilitate the pathway for other people that want to walk down that road and start doing these type of things themselves. They don't have to start completely alone like I did, you know, figuring it all out from zip, you know.
Yeah, I think you do a great job of facilitating for people, especially like Jim and I and the One Great Work Warriors, who we're just coming into this information and we're kind of like stranded in a way. And you essentially extended your hand and, you know, led us towards truth. And, you know, you also brought other members of the One Great Work Network who are also on a high level of consciousness, you know, direct us towards truth. And now you're expanding that offer and helping others. So this is online. I mean, people can just, like you said, go to the website, connect. So that's amazing. There's really no excuse to not do that.
Yeah, so check out either freedomundernaturallaw.com to learn more about that. But then on endevil.life, there's a tab for End Evil Connect. Or you can hit the little newsletter button on the sidebar of any episode.
And just talking about my journey a little bit, I mean, when I started, I was absolutely, you know, shy and stuff like that. And right now I'm, you know, just kind of doing it, you know, I'm, you know, just trying to make my way forward. And you are a very caring person, willing to come on this interview and teach people about, hey, the problems in the world and how we can overcome them. But I think it's kind of like throwing spaghetti at the wall, seeing what sticks, and then improving as we move on, move forward. But like, what really is interesting is two things. One is the End Evil book. maybe we can talk about that really quick before we talk about your book that you just wrote. So why don't we talk about the End Evil book? Why is this book important, Chris?
Well, I would say one of the most awesome things about it, you know, talking about the trivium, we gather all the information, then we get to the next stage where we logic kind of back and forth, ask questions, converse about all the information, and then the rhetoric where we are able to deliver some sort of scientific solution to all the conversing and questioning that we did and come up with some sort of statement at the end. Obviously, life has no simple ends. There's just new beginnings, but the end of one process is the beginning of another. So why do I bring up the trivium? I like the book, The End of All Evil, because it takes you through that process in a very quick and simple manner. It's very logical, and he walks through the book. You can read this book, and I want to grab it, hold of it, because, you know, like, look at the size of it. It's basically 100 pages. So if you just really go, like, on a camping trip or an airplane, you can pretty much read it in one sitting or two sittings. And a lot of the chapters, sorry, I'm showing off my stickers again there. It's just like, okay, education. This whole little section here is on education. And so the way he breaks things down, like one little topic at a time, it's very palatable. It's easy. It's like eating chips. It's easy, you know, one after another. And he breaks things down in such a simple way. So those are the main things I like about the book. It's easy to read. It's straightforward. It's to the point in a way most books don't ever get to. And then, like, the biggest thing I love about it is it leaves you with a feeling of hope. Even though we're talking about a pretty black-pilled topic, that humans are basically in slavery and that the vast majority of humanity is not seeing the truth for what it really is, they're missing the big picture of the reality, it's just a matter of time till that realization happens. And that is the beautiful thing about the book, is he's saying evil has to end by the nature of what it is. You know, it's the darkness on life, but life will always reemerge, and eventually evil will fade. And, you know, do we want that to happen in our lifetime or not? You know, it depends how much effort we can put forward as humanity, right? And so we're those of us who care, who really do care, we're starting to put that effort out there. And I think the more people that see how much effort we're putting out there, hopefully they realize, like, oh man, I need to get part of this too, because this is what's right, because this is what my heart tells me, you know, that there is a such thing as right. So why does that get so lost in today's culture? That's all the reasons we make these shows and podcasts and try to explain all the details that keep people away from understanding the simple things in this book, because it should be self-evident, but it's not.
Yeah, the whole topic of evil may seem dark or harsh, and, like, I mean, why would anyone want to read that book, right? But you read it and you become illuminated. You're not ignoring the problem. Instead, you're actually aware of the problem. And that is essentially the second step of problem solving. Like, first, you have to not be in denial. So in a way, it's like the first problem, because you have to be aware of it. But I think this book does a great job of that. And I haven't finished reading it, to be honest, but I will finish reading it. And I say this just to say that there's this metaphor of, you know, the one great work, which is essentially you want to reach the peak of the mountain. And in that journey, there is a mountain before that mountain. And some people who are on top at the peak of the first mountain think they know everything there is to know. But actually, then they drop down like a roller coaster. So the gist is, don't set up your camp and think, oh yeah, this is as far as I have to go. No, keep going. So I will finish that book. And like you said, that the end, the end of the book is a hopeful, it brings a positive like solution. So Chris, I just want to move into your book now that you just wrote. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, geez, this is a bucket list lifetime thing. I've always wanted to write a book. And what I've always really wanted to write a book, I have some ideas for fiction books too, and I've worked on a couple of them, actually. One of them's really far along. But my heart has really always wanted to write a book, kind of like The End of All Evil, where it really takes my whole philosophy that I've put together in my head through my whole lifetime and just explain it to someone, like as if I'm trying to pass my most important knowledge to the next generation, to my 20-year-old self, you know, who's out there somewhere. If you could tell him everything you could tell him, what would it be? And that's what I packed into this book. I wanted to inspire a person. I wanted it to motivate a person. I wanted it to have the possibility for someone to change their life. Now, I can't promise you that if you read this book, it'll change your life. I mean, any more than any moment changes your life. But I know it changed mine in writing it, because every time I look over it and read through the chapters, I have this intense feeling. And the whole process of putting these words down on you know, paper and reading them and having my friends read them and rewriting them just has brought me to a whole another level of understanding the things I thought I already knew. There's nothing like teaching something to learn it yourself. And I knew that would happen to me if I stuck with it and I got this book done. And so I knew I could call it The Book That Changed My Life as long as I finished it, because then I would go through that experience, and I'm still going through it. Now is a very exciting time for me. I recently posted, you know, I started posting on social media, letting all my friends, all the people that know me know, hey, this book's ready to be published. I'm getting the copies this month on the 20th, and I put it on the website that people could pre-order and get a signed copy. And I've already had quite a few people take me up on that. In fact, I had to order a second set of books with some slightly updated. I saw a few little mistakes here and there that I fixed, made a newer version just last week, and now those the new stack is on the way to my house. And I have almost, quite a few people already ordered. So I'm going to be sending these books out. Let me show you the cover. This is the not for pre-sale copy. That's why it has that stripe on it. When you make a book on Amazon Kindle, it's pretty cheap, man. You can have these copies sent to yourself for like $3 each. You know, they do a really nice job on the proofs. They call them proofs. And then you could see my book's like, you know, slightly thicker than The End of All Evil. But it's still a pretty quick read. And I kind of, where's the camera? I kind of did like he did and split it up into sections. There's like a little, there's one of the longer ones. You know, you can see the end has, I'm having a little trouble with my angles here. You know, a little section on a different topic. And each topic has a heading. Like, come on, there we go. That one says the script. I'm not doing the angle very well. Yeah, I need a donation. Anybody want to help out the End Evil podcast? I got the sorriest camera. I've been needing to replace that webcam for a minute. Someday someone's going to hook me up with a couple bones to replace this sorry webcam. But yeah, I'm very excited. Or maybe I'll get enough sales from the book to do that. We'll see. And I really want to thank Will Keller. Will Keller wrote the foreword. And the foreword's called The Renaissance Man. And Will did an excellent job on that. And you can check out Will and I. We've done a couple episodes about the Renaissance, and that means the rebirth. And that's really what this book's about. It's about rebirthing yourself and finding what really matters to you, finding your core, understanding core principles, getting in alignment with your deepest divine self, what I call the divine crystal, your consciousness, your understanding of morality. And taking this life and every moment like it really means something, like it is the most valuable thing in the universe, because it is. And there's a lot of things out in this world that are going to keep keep us like kind of separated from that feeling, and putting walls up around us in terms of education, in terms of religions, governments, laws, all these distractions, Hollywood, you know, constantly bombarding people's minds with distractions from what we're really here to do and what really matters the most. And I want to bring that back in any way possible. And I just know that's good deep in my heart, because evil is the destruction of freedom. There's a lot of evil out there that's destroying people's ability to make choices, to do good things in this world. And we could do a lot better as a people. There's a lot of room to grow. And how are we not going to do that if folks are not encouraging that and pushing themselves to do better and asking other people to do better? So that's what this book is all about.
And yeah.
So, oh yeah, and I should tell people, you know, go to endevil.life. And up in the corner, there's little three little bars for the menu, and you hit that, and there's a store. And on the store, you'll find the book, The End of All Evil, and you can pre-order my book, or you can get a package deal with both of them. And that's kind of like a limited-time deal that's offered right now. So the pricing is going to go up. So I, you know, recommend people get on there and do that now. Well, we're still in the pre-order phase, so you can get that special deal. And I'll send you some stickers, too. I'm going to find those new stickers. I want to show you those. It's pretty cool what Amazon, you can go on there and you can just like get an image and say, oh, I want to get some stickers made, and upload your little image and then they send them to you. Here we go. Colorful ones.
That is divine.
So yeah, I got those stickers all over all my stuff now, everywhere I go. Back of my trailer, on my computer, on the side of my lunchbox, all my batteries for my tools, all have stickers on. So,
yeah, it's an important message out there: the end evil, and like you said, it will be ended one day. And whether we decide to put our will into action, right action, to get that done, or suffer the consequences of a meteor coming to Earth and, you know, destroying us or whatever it might be, we have a choice to make. And I would highly recommend getting this book, because for I know you online, but, you know, I'm not with you like all the time. So I don't know all your wisdom, but you put that all into a book, and also book, you know, comes from the word liber, I think, in Latin, which means freedom. So reading books is essential. And that book can basically be passed on, you know, for generations and still have, you know, a really important meaning behind it, the message of freedom. So I know that, you know, you already put out some videos talking about chapters in the book. You talked about synchronicity, what was it called? Synchronicity.
The Tesseract.
Yeah, the Tesseract. You talked about the battlefield.
Battlefield of emotions, yeah.
I mean, that video, the battlefield, the background was very beautiful. But
Big Shasta.
Yeah. I really liked just how you even share those chapters, right? Just to kind of whet the appetite. And what it takes like 3 days, you said, but reading the book in the morning, it's not a long read, you said. So, but yeah, I plan on buying this book, man. You know, getting the stickers, sharing it with people. And so right now you have the promotion, right? It's you get the book you wrote with The End Evil, you can get that for a discount.
That's correct. If you get both of them, there's a package deal. And either way, I'm going to send you some stickers. So, and so this, you know, you're ordering just directly from me. I'm getting these author copies from Amazon. They're supposed to show up here in 9 days. I'm on the 9-day countdown today. And then I'm just going to be sending them out to everyone as soon as they get here. That's going to be an exciting day for me. I'll take some pictures and send everybody their tracking number so they know it's in the mail. And then I'll keep selling the books on my website. after that point. And then on August 1st, it goes live on Amazon. And, you know, I kind of went back and forth with even selling this book on Amazon. But in the end, I've decided that the hope really is that this gets distributed as much as possible. And what's the best way to do that is to make it easy for people to get it. And I think this my book or The End of All Evil are the type of books that you can hand to someone and be like, hey, check this out. You know, that a lot of times what I've noticed is you'll get into conversations with various people and it's kind of surprising. Some random person you meet will have some advanced knowledge compared to what you might expect. And that's a good time to hand them a card, to hand them a website, to hand them a book, you know, and be like, I really like what you just said. See what you think about this. And it offers people a way to reflect on their own time. You know, there's not that pressure. You know, when you're having a conversation and you're trying to explain to someone, anarchy means no rulers. It doesn't mean chaos. And they're like, that's, you know, that you start getting emotions. And in the moment, it's really hard to receive certain statements people might make. You know, it's bad to be a policeman, you know, like they're going to react to some of these things. But when you put it in a philosophy form, when you put it in a book, when you give someone a metaphor, some different ways to think about it, and they can kind of look at it on their own time and then sit with it, let the wheels turn overnight, look at it again, then they can come to their own conclusions on their own time and space. So that's kind of where I see the importance of these tools of books. Some people do well with something they can hold physically in their hand. And personally, I like to write in books. I encourage people to write in books. I mean, get my book and write all over it and, you know, mark the pages and underline and then give it to someone, you know, and be like, read this if you want. So that was my hope. That's my hope. What happens? So
that's very special, because if you highlight the words and maybe make some side notes, you're adding more value to the book. So
Right. I love that when I'm reading a book and I find something someone else marked up. I'm like, oh, I see what you like there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting just seeing people who have read it before. It's almost like teamwork in a way. It's like, yeah, how can we make this information really like memorable in a way? And yeah, I just think what you're doing, Chris, is a very memorable, man. You know, you took the time to write a book, you know, you're putting out a podcast weekly. You've been doing that for, I don't know how long, but I did have this question. I mean, you said that, well, first of all, you titled the book that changed my life. And you said, yeah, as long as I finish it, then that's what it is. And I know you're still making adjustments to it. So it's not like, I think you're like refining it still. And so I guess my question is, like, what changed your life about it? Was it just going through that process of writing it, like making sure you know what you're talking about, or just the whole like discovery process? Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know if innuendo is the right word, or double entendre or something like that. One of those words, a dream within a dream kind of thing. Because the idea is, you know, like I said, I already know it's going to change my life because I've chosen that it's going to. It's kind of like the guy who decided to run the mile in less than 3 minutes. Nobody had been able to do that. For years and years and years, one guy said, you know what, I'm going to run the mile in less than 3 minutes. And he did. And then in that next year after he did it, like 7 other people pulled it off. You know, and it was just because they had that belief, they had that thought in their head that that was a possibility. And so this is a dynamic of manifestation, of life, of doing things, of realizing things, of coming to enlightenments. You can't do that if you don't try. So you have to set a goal. Say, you know what? I want to change my life. And so what I'm doing is giving somebody else a way to do that. Right. But I want to be honest about it. You know, I realized, because I first thought about calling it How to Become a Hero, or, you know, the book that changed your life. You know what I mean? But then I realized either of those things is too big of a claim. I really can't promise that. And this is all about honesty and truth. I don't want to say right on the cover something that's not completely true, right? But I can say I know it's going to change my life because I've chosen that it's going to. I've made that decision in my heart, in my soul, and then I followed through in the processes. So now it's going to manifest. I know it's going to change my life. I have no doubt. So understanding that process of initiating the magic in your life is what I'm describing in this book. And I'm giving you the opportunity to say that. You could say, you know what? I do want to change my life. I want to make it better. I want to be a powerful person. I want to leave a mark so that when my grandkids look back, they're going to be like, yeah, my grandpa, my grandma did such and such. You know, you want to just go out like a fart and no one even notices you but the bad smell. That's not what you want. This is a valuable opportunity. And so this book is, that's what the title is. It's almost like a placeholder for you to choose that mission. And if you do, then you can say with confidence, this book did change my life as you hand it to someone else. You can say, it is the book that changed my life now. But you don't have to choose that. You know, you might read it and be like, yeah, this is a bunch of crazy conspiratorial stuff I don't agree with. That's fine. It doesn't have to be the book that changed your life. But the fact that you're willing to try, the fact that you're willing to open it, that you've made that decision consciously, I do kind of want to change my life. It might happen with the next book you read or the one after. So in a weird way, it did help you, right? Because it engaged that process. And until we initiate, until we decide to do a thing, we're no closer to doing that thing unless it's happening by accident. And in the weird way, our spirit does that in this life. It keeps pushing us towards realizations, whether we like it or not. But I'm giving you, whoever you are, the opportunity to make that journey one you embrace with joy and you feel good about it. Like, I chose to, you know, go down this path. I chose to climb this mountain. That's one of the allegories I use in the book, is climbing a mountain. And that's what's on the cover. Castle Crag is one of my most spiritual, amazing places in the world I've ever been. Is this place I go hiking. It's only about an hour from here. And it's a beautiful, amazing place. And when you climb those rocks and you get to the top and you look over the edge of like a 9,000-foot drop, it does something to your heart and your soul and your mind. And the fact that you chose to do that and to be in that spot is kind of like what this book is really teaching. Philosophy isn't optional. It is survival. It's not some old, dusty book, old man thing. It's what creates your reality. And so that's kind of what I'm hoping to get across to folks. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, you bring up a good point on philosophy. I mean, like you said, there's a ton of distractions out there, whether that's this industry or sports or money. Like, I know you mentioned philosophy is like needed to create your reality, but can you maybe expand on it a little bit?
Yeah. You know, I was having that cool conversation with Chris Nelson last week, and he was saying, you know, imagine if you're looking at reality and there's spaces in it, you know, there's holes in reality in front of you. And I've often thought of that as a way to, in our Hopium episode, I called it the fun house. You know, imagine walking through a fun house and every step you take, you never know if there's going to be solid ground or the ground in front of you is going to change to a different color or a different consistency. Like, the fact that most people I talk to have a lot of trouble understanding the idea of objective reality or objective morality, and they want to argue tooth and nail with those concepts, explains why we have the problem we do. And I understand why it's confusing. We live in a subjective being. You know, we experience the world through our senses. We touch, we taste, we feel, and then we get all these emotions and feelings, and there's a lot of confusion in all that. And so in today's world, where there's so much different manipulation out there, and there's so many belief systems that have been recycled through time and used to get people to do certain things. We really have to find some safe anchor in this world, to a way to discern the difference between right and wrong, a way to see when things have gone too far to one side, when our boat's losing water and we're sinking, you know, in terms of our life and our being. How do we know these things? How do we get to the bottom of these things? Well, you know, you go on the internet and ask any question, you're going to find a bunch of different answers that are going to disagree with each other, right? And so I'm really trying to offer people tools that they can use themselves and ask themselves, does this tool work? Does this tool fit? Because when you can decide something for yourself and you don't need someone else to tell you, boy, it's like the difference of teaching someone, you know, catching someone a fish or teaching someone how to fish so they can catch their own fish. And that's really what we're lacking in the authoritarian-based world. Authoritarian-based world says, follow instructions, stand in line. From the time you're born, you're getting hit with, stand in line, don't talk when I say don't talk. Did you ask to go to the bathroom? I didn't see your pass, you know. Here's what God is. God is this thing in this book, you know, and here's what Jesus is, and here's what Matthew, you know, or that every religion's going to come and tell you what you should think. Here's a dogmatic way to think about it. Here's a way to simplify things. And then government, police, military, they're going to do the same thing. Stand over here. Here's the freedom zone. You know, you're only allowed to say freedom things in this zone. You know, they're going to always fall for instructions to just like a robot, you know, instruct and follow the rules. But what I'm encouraging people is to think for yourself and to rediscover, who are you? The oldest wisdom in the world is to know thyself. And so I guess I kind of lost track of your question, to be honest, Jerry. I just started yakking. What did you ask me?
Yeah, so the importance of philosophy, you were saying that, you know, if there's holes in our reality, and like you talk about the fun house, it's just like we have to cover the holes, right? I mean, we can't be sinking out here.
Yeah, I guess I was getting back to the idea of objective morality. We can talk about things. We can agree on things. Otherwise, we wouldn't have communication. You know, we can make connections with people. We can confer with people. We can consolidate information. We can, there's a word I love to use, collaborate. I love the word collaborate. Inside of our own self, there's the two parts of ourself that we need to learn to integrate, right? And so, I guess really concentrating on the idea of objective reality and objective morality are kind of a hard exercise, but it is something that we have the capability to do. It's an advanced skill to kind of look at things from a bigger point of view and see the big picture of things and realize that there is a consistency, there is a consistent nature to reality. And it always, science wouldn't work if nature didn't always respond in the way that it does. Thermodynamics would not work if nature didn't always respond with the same principles. And when we come to recognize that morality and what we do, how we treat one another, is the exact same thing as any kind of science or math you could imagine, you do one thing, you get a certain result. And when we make that comparison and understand that spirituality, morality is as real as a rock flying at your face in the material world, then we begin to understand that every little thing we do matters, and everything everybody around us do matters, and it's going to affect all of us and the outcome of our next days and our grandkids and their grandkids. So let's take it more seriously and let's recognize what's going on.
Yeah, so the book you wrote, the book that changed my life, can be that book to help someone go or start questioning things, basically. Is that right?
Yeah, I put a lot of questions in the book. There's probably as many question sentences as there are period ending. You know, a lot of it is asking you, well, you know, what are you going to do with that information? What do you think about that? You see that as being true? You know, it's, I'm bringing up ideas and concepts, and I'm saying, here's what I see, you know? And so I really encourage people to think about things on their own. If you read my book and you disagree with it, hit me up, send me an email, get on the podcast. Let's talk about it. I'm curious where people disagree. And actually I was thinking I could do something special for this show, Jerry. I want to put out a special invite. If anybody happens to be listening to this particular episode with Jerry, and you want to get a free copy of my book, I will send you a free copy if you take the time to clip out me and Jerry talking or some part of this interview and share the link on social media somewhere else. If you share, something about this book and about this interview with your friends on social media and send me a picture or an image or some proof that you've done that you've helped spread this to other people, I will give, one person who does that a free book. And so that's a little contest I'll put out. If anyone, actually took the time to watch this show this far in and they're willing to take the time and share this with their followers and send me something that shows they did that, I will send that person a free book. And as thanks for watching this video, and thanks for checking out your content as well.
That's very gracious of you, Chris. I think that's a great offer. So people, please take him up on his offer. Let's get the word out on his book, share it, promote it. This is valuable information that has to get out. And from Chris Jansen, very reputable person, fighting for freedom. I mean, you just mentioned you put question marks in the book, so it's not dogmatic. It's making you question things for yourself, come to your own conclusions. But you and I have come to the conclusions that, yes, objective reality exists, and objective morality is as real as a rock flying in your face. So, yeah, Chris, I think this has been a great interview so far. I did want to ask you really quick as well, you plan on hopping on interviews, promoting the book, which is, doing the great work and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to seeing those interviews. And yeah, I think that episode you did with Chris Nelson last week is a must watch. It's called The Epistemologistician, I think. And
Epistemologistician. None of us ever said it right in the whole interview. I made up a word, epistemologistician. There it is.
Absolutely. Very important knowledge right there. And we need people helping out clipping videos, right? I mean,
yeah.
Like you said, wearing all these hats is, can be daunting. So,
yeah, and there's a wealth. Part of the reason we did the Freedom Under Natural Law conferences was, to bring together other people, and so we could have different points of view. And we always have tried in those conferences to try to get some female voices and some male voices, some real experienced presenters, and then a couple presenters who are like brand new at presenting. And it's just really beautiful to have that tapestry of different minds and points of view, all kind of centered around natural law, truth, freedom, and yet all these kind of nuanced points of view on how to go about teaching that and how to go about learning that through art, through music, through scientific study of history and what other people have done, through philosophy, all these different ways people have tried. And so there's hours and hours of great information either on the One Great Work Network or on the freedomundernaturallaw.com or any of these people that are involved with these things. And you can go in, find little 2-minute clips, put them on social media, share them. If you're not ready to create your own content or you don't feel ready to put out that type of rhetoric, why not take some time and share other people's or find a way to contribute to their podcasts like Nate Kapp and Cubbyhole, Brandon Martin and his seedtruth.com, Will Keller, willkeller.com, Leslie Powers, and she has Reviving Sophia, Dissolving the Divide. There's all these people out there that are putting out good quality work about these topics that need assistance, that need help, that need their work to be shared and starting and keeping the conversation going and asking other, even if you disagree, ask other people, hey, do you guys disagree with this too? Let's get the convo out there. Is morality important or not? You know?
Excellent, Chris. Well, just to kind of bring this interview to a close, what future plans do you have?
Man, I got so many plans, Jerry. It's hard to, I've been actually the last couple of days feeling like, man, all right, I got the book pretty much done. Now what? Now which one? I have an idea for a game, a natural law game, and that I really want to work on. I have a little movie I started making. I think I showed you Agortho Part 1. I need to finish that. I got a science fiction book. I got a presentation I want to create. But I think honestly what I'm most excited about right now is starting to get more into self-defense, actual, practical, physical self-defense, and also mental and spiritual self-defense. And I think that's the direction I'm going to go next with my content.
I think it might be good to touch on really quick why physical self-defense is important. Perhaps the parents listening to this, why they may want to put their kids into, you know, learning martial arts. So can you maybe share reasons why to learn?
Well, I guess first off, I'm starting to use the term self-protection over self-defense. And I think one of my biggest concerns when I bring up this topic is people think martial arts, they think self-defense. A lot of times people are thinking about sport fighting. And a lot of these type of dojos you might go to are kind of based around you're training to fight on the mat, maybe wearing a certain kind of costume, working up towards tournaments where you touch the other person for points. And I'm not saying that's not good things to learn. There's so many skills in each of those practices that are valuable. But the most important thing that I really want to teach people that I've gotten from my teacher, we just train out in the woods and we wear what we're wearing. If it's cold out and it's raining, we're wearing a jacket. We've even trained in gloves. We've trained by the pool, you know, throwing each other in the pool. And what we're training for is things going terribly wrong. And what do you do? How do you protect yourself? How do you protect your loved one? And the answer is not use fancy kicking skills and fighting skills. I mean, it's great if you have those skills. But most of the things we can do have to do with understanding the principles of an aggressive situation or an aggressive person. And how do we stop them from being aggressive before they get to the point of possibly harming me or my loved ones or innocent ones around me? And a lot of that has to do with the mindset, understanding certain philosophies, but then it also has to do with weapons. You know, like why would you punch it out with someone if you have a stick or there's something within reach that's just about the same as a stick? If someone's attacking you and they want to hurt you, then there's no reason why you shouldn't hit them with a stick before that. You know what I mean? Like you're not going to let someone take things from you or harm you because you don't want to hurt them. You know, and I get that. I don't want to hurt people. And the more skilled I am and the more knowledge and training I have, the more options I have to not hurt someone. And, you know, I'll just give you guys this one simple one. I carry pepper spray with me at all times in my pocket. Something I learned from my self-defense teacher. He's like, why wouldn't you? It's basically vegetables, you know? Yeah, you could get in trouble for putting in someone's eyes at the wrong time, but you could also save your life and maybe multiple other people's life or injury just by having that with you at the right moment and kind of knowing how to use it without really having to hurt yourself or others and get out of a situation what could have been very deadly. And so that's really, it's really for me, self-protection, weapon self-defense is all about understanding principles and understanding the value of your life and your choices and that it's not other people's to take that away from you. And, you know, how valuable is your life? Whose job is it to protect your children? You have to ask yourself that question. Whose job is it to protect your own skin and your own body and your own mind? It's up to you.
I love that so much, Chris. I actually have one more question before we end, wrap it up. And that is, do you have, you know, maybe advice to the freedom movement?
You know, I'm kind of with Mark Passio on that. I really don't think we have a freedom movement yet. I think we have a lot of people out there talking about the ideas and concepts of freedom, which is great. And I do think there are more people that are in the possibility place of kind of opening their mind because of realizations. But in order to have a movement, we have to all be on the same page, right? A movement is something happening, something changing, something going in a direction like a river. And right now we have a bunch of argumentation. People are not on the same page. Objective morality is not across the board accepted at freedom events. You have a lot of people that think we're going to get from here to a world of freedom using crypto coins or by planting more, permaculture type homesteading, you know, and those are all great things, but they don't get us to the core principles of understanding morality, of understanding the difference between right and wrong. And that's not at the beginning of all the presentations you see at the freedom festivals. And there's a lot of good things floating around. I want to go more to these events. I really do. But many of us are confined right now by finances. And, you know, there is a debt slavery situation we're in that is putting a cap on a lot of our ability to go to these places and be part of these groups and go join these, you know. And then what I've experienced, you know, like I said, I've tried to make groups several times. What I've experienced is everybody, including myself, is emotionally traumatized, and we all have issues, shadow issues that we're trying to work through. Having a group in today's world is extremely difficult because people get into conflicts and they start arguing over emotional disagreements, and, you know, it's really hard. So we have to really get to the core principles and agree on those in order to get something moving. And I would like to see a freedom movement forming. And I think that's going to take some more work on the philosophy and the trivium end of this project. And I think people have to learn how to have honest debates. And I don't really see a lot of that going on. So, you know, we got a lot of work to do. Let me put it that way, in laying down the bricks, the fundamentals, the principles, the first principles before we can get on to making moves, you know?
Yeah, I know Phoenix, he said he was hosting the good faith or good actor debate thing, but
yeah, it looked like a good idea.
Yeah. So maybe there's an avenue that, you know, can be explored to debate people honestly. It's supposed to be, you know, structured in a way where before you respond, you have to repeat back what the other person said. That way you're both on the same page. So right. It's excellent, man. Future is looking interesting.
the future's so dark, I gotta take off my shades.
Absolutely.
But you know, it gives me a lot of joy to be what I feel like making choices on the right side of the future, you know. And I'm not perfect. I make mistakes still. I do not put myself in, you know, I'm not telling people be like me, but I am telling people make the types of choices that I'm making. Encourage yourself to aim in that direction. Be inspired, be motivated. And if you're not motivated and if you're not inspired, what the hell are you doing? That's not bringing that about in your life. And why not? What do you got to change?
Chris, thank you so much for coming on to this to do this interview with me. Where can people find your work?
Endevil.life. That's the spot. And I also like to send people to freedomundernaturallaw.com. But endevil.life is my main hub, and that's where all my work is displayed. And thank you, Jerry, for your help with that website. I really appreciate it. And thanks for interviewing me and helping me talk about the book. Get on the website, guys, and get your pre-order copy of the book that changed my life. and get some stickers and maybe get the End of All Evil too. And I'll look forward to seeing y'all next time around.
That is a wrap, folks. You have a great one, Chris.
We'll do. Bye, y'all. Now if you ever had a feeling that you can't deny that made you throw your hands up high to try to fly and grab the sky without you understanding why, then amplify that feeling by a million, maybe then you know the feeling I be getting when I'm killing shit with every flow. Now you just do you, I'ma do me, life is filled with all this beauty, all I truly wanna do is answer to my call of duty, that which is my destiny, rapping is what set me free, synthesis and diesel on the track produced by Kenny.
What I'm excited about to share with you right now is the store. I got the book, The End of All Evil. I got plenty of copies. So if you click on this link, either this book here or this link, it will take you to a payment page. You get the book, and I send you some End Evil podcast stickers. A new exciting thing is happening. My book is coming out. I just finished writing it. This July 20th, 21st, I'm supposed to be getting copies in my hand. And so you can right now click on this link and pre-order that copy that I'll sign for you. And I will also send you some stickers. Or you can get both. And this is a limited time deal that I've got on my website right now. You can order my book, the author's copy signed, and you can get The End of All Evil for $45 for both. And that link is right here on the End Evil store.